everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thank you for joining me here today. I am John Scott. It is January 5th, 2026. It is a evening recording. I have struck back against my wife, who said, don't record at night. Don't do it. I said, I'm going. I'm going to have some fun. You know what? I'm fired up about this episode because I've been watching a lot of hockey lately. I was a little under the weather, like I said, in the last episode over the holidays. So I just kind of hunkered down and started watching hockey. But what I also did was I built the hockey rink. And I've been fired up the last week and a half because the weather has been just great. Ice rink making weather. Nice and cold. A little bit too much snow, but you can work around that. And then all of a sudden today hits. And it's just 35, 36 degrees. It's raining in my beautiful rink, which is just about ready to start skating. Like, I'm talking just about ready. I've been flooding it for the last week. Had a little low spot, unexpected. So one end of the rink has about 10 inches of ice, and the other one not so much. But we're close. And then the forecast, of course, this week hits, and it's just rain, 32, 35, 40 degrees on Wednesday, and it just sucks. It's not fun. So I was fired up about that, and I'm also fired up about international hockey. Now, growing up as a kid, Christmas was about the presents, right? It's fantastic. Christmas morning. The other big moment for me when I was a kid was the World Junior Championships. I was all in on it. It was just one of those things you set your clock by. You open your presents, it's Boxing Day, it's time to watch the World Junior Championships. And this is back when Canada was just an absolute juggernaut. You know, the early 90s, the 2000s, when it was just gold medal, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 90, 91. It was just every single year you could just chalk Canada up for a gold medal. And then you would get the odd year where Russia would win one. Well, back in my day, it was the Soviet Union. But every single year, Canada was in the mix until recently. And, you know, you get the odd outlier year where it's like, okay, Canada, they didn't perform that year. I think it was in 2000, they didn't have a great team. 1998, they didn't have a great team. But those were the outliers. They would always come back to what Canada was. And it was a plethora of talent. It was knowing how to play the game the right way. It was physically punishing the other team and then outskilling them. It was everything across the board. Canada did better than everybody else. Do you want to play a skill game? Fine. We will outskill you. Do you think you're going to bully us around the ice? No, we'll bury you through the boards. Oh, you want to do a special teams game, or you want to do a 5-on-5 game, or you want it to just to be a goaltender battle. However you wanted to play the game, Canada said, we can play that game and we will beat you at it. And that's been the modus operandi forever for Canada. Never have I ever thought that, oh, Canada is not the favorite going into this tournament. Every single tournament until recently, that is. Coming into this World Junior Championships, I was a little apprehensive. The last two results have been lackluster. Canada has not medaled at all. They didn't even make the medal round. They got knocked out in the quarterfinals both years by the Czech Republic. But this year was going to be different. This year was the year. It was a stacked roster. You know, NHL talent up and down. Goaltending, defense, forwards. They had a lot of these guys had been through the previous year's failures. So they had learned from their mistakes and they were hungry. They wanted to go in and prove that Canada still is the dominant figure in hockey like we have been forever since the invention of the game. It's been Canada at the top and Canada only. Well, they dropped the puck on Boxing Day and it did not go as planned. And everybody's, you know, rightfully so, kind of having a come to Jesus moment with Canada here, because we are, and I group myself in with Canadians. I was born in Edmonton. I was raised in Ontario. I know I've been in the United States for years and years now, but, you know, I'm a Canadian. And we are hockey. You know, that it's in our blood. It's ingrained in us. For my listeners who are not from Canada, it's hard to explain, but it's just Canada maple syrup and tragically hip. That's what you do. That's who we are. And slowly but surely, the hockey part is being stripped away from us. And it's happened quite suddenly. And I'm going to really take my time to dig into this because I think it's worthwhile to talk about. But I just want to give you the makeup of each team going into this World Junior Championships. I did a little research, and it's always interesting to know who's beating you, right? And for the Canadians, it's been the Czech Republic for the last 3 years. Czech Republic is not a country that wins in this tournament. They have not won a gold medal in this tournament. You have to go all the way back to 2001. They won in 2000 and 2001. That was the last time that they won a gold medal in this tournament. And since then, it's just been droughts. And it's because they're a smaller Eastern European bloc team that doesn't have the talent output that Canada has. They don't have the money. They don't have the resources. Yes, hockey is played there. I know a lot of guys from the Czech Republic who are really good hockey players. It's not to the same extent as Canada. But they have beat them out now 3 consecutive years. So I just looked into the roster. The Czech Republic has 3 first rounders. Mind you, they're very solid players. They have 2 second rounders on this team. They have 3 fourths, 1 fifth, 3 sixth, 2 seventh rounders, and 8 that are undrafted. Some will be eligible this year, and others just did not get drafted in the NHL draft, which is the norm for a lot of these smaller country teams. They just don't get drafted. They don't get the exposure. The only time they get seen by NHL scouts on the most part is during these big tournaments. So they're hoping to come, make an impression, get drafted, blah, blah, blah. So they beat Canada 3 years in a row. 3 first rounders. And then you look at Canada's roster. 20 first rounders. 20 first rounders. 3 second rounders and 4 draft eligible players who will be first rounders, most likely lottery picks for a couple of them. 20 first rounders. Every good position player, defense, forward, all first rounders. The second rounders are goaltenders. So Canada's roster is full of first round NHL picks. So just from a straight betting standpoint, before the puck is even dropped, the talent goes to Canada. Individual talent goes to Canada. Which makes this very concerning to me, because when you just stare at a player, if you give him a puck and say, go skate around the ice, the Canadian players are better, you guys. They should win the game. But as the old adage goes, that's why they dropped the puck. So why are we losing? Why do the Canadian teams, and this has become a habit, I know in 2022 and 23, they won gold. They had incredible teams. The games were played in Moncton and Edmonton. That does help. But, last year was played in Canada. What is going on in Canada hockey that we're getting these results? Yes, and I really am trying to just put this from a Canada lens. I understand everybody's getting better. I understand the Czech Republic, and you have to give them their due. They played fantastic hockey. They win. They won that game. Good for them. But they shouldn't have. Based on the skill level, the talent, the history, the pedigree, the players on the ice, you can't tell me that Canada should not have won that game. So for those of you out there screaming at me saying, you have to give Czech Republic their due. I do. They played a great game. But Canada lost this game more than Czech Republic. I don't want to say that either. Canada should have won if they would have played the game correctly. And let me get into that. Because for a long time, I feel like Canada hockey has been focused on the wrong things. And I've never been in the Canada hockey system. I wasn't one of those guys who was a high prospect. I was never a prospect. But I've been around players who have been in the system. I know people in Hockey Canada. I know the types of things they coach and the type of things they do when you go to these coaching clinics. And for the last, it seems like 10 to 15 years, we have gone away from teaching players how to play the game. We have gone away from teaching how to defend, how to attack, how to do things as a team, spacing, using your teammates, creating offense, how to track back through the neutral zone, how to come back to the house, what to do in certain situations of the game. Are we up by three? Are we down by three? Is it the last minute of the game? How do you start a game? What do you do in certain situations? I feel like the whole aspect of hockey, what it takes to win, isn't being taught anymore. All of that stuff has been pushed to the back burner. All we do now in camps, in Hockey Canada, in coaching clinics, in everything that has to do with young player development is individual skills. That's it. And that's great. Like, that's very important. But if you only have the individual skill and you don't package it with how to play the game, when you throw the puck out there and you have 20 first round draft picks versus a team full of second, third, fourth, fifth round draft picks, you lose. And you lose again, and you lose three times in a row. And at some point, someone has to stand up and go, why are we doing this? And thank God for power plays. Because if there was no power play in the World Junior Championships, I don't think Canada even makes it to the medal round. Their power play was unbelievable. They're pure talent. So when they have the time and the space to just let their individual talents shine, it's incredible. Like the passes, the vision, McKenna, Parekka, all these guys, O'Reilly, it's mesmerizing. Like, they're really talented players. But when it's 5-on-5, a lot of those things go away because other teams game plan. They know how to play the game. They have watched Canada for years. They have copycatted us. And now they know how to beat us. I guarantee you, when coaches talk to their teams, they go, just stop the one-on-one battle. Like, and then you win. There is no team play in the Canadian system. It's one-on-one, one-on-one, one-on-one. And if that doesn't work, then they give it to somebody else to try to go one-on-one, one-on-one, one-on-one. That's the Canadian game. And you can't blame the players because that's all they know. They play selfish hockey. They take undisciplined penalties. They're unsportsmanlike misconduct. That's how they've been taught from the moment they were 6, 7, 8 years old. It's, we're going to work on your hands. We're going to work on beating guys one-on-one. We're going to work on individual skills. Because I think parents and coaches and players know that's how you make the money. That's it. And the respect for what's on the front of the jersey. I know it's a cliche. We play for the crest and not for the name on the back. There's something to be said about that adage. A lot of these guys, I truly believe they're in it for themselves. They are in it to make the big play. They're in it to get that highlight reel goal, to get that notoriety, to get the interview at the end of the game, to get the game's best player. I don't think a lot of these guys want to do the hard stuff it takes to win a game. And you could tell right at the end of the game when they were playing the Czech Republic, you're winning that game. You should win that game. 5 minutes left. It's when the Czech Republic tied the game, it's a 3-on-4 into their zone for Team Canada. A 3-on-4. And then it becomes a 2-on-3. That play should have been snuffed out in the neutral zone. But players don't know how to play physical. They don't know how to play in certain points of the game. You have to show some urgency. And you could tell the Canadian players, they like playing a very easy, very comfortable type of game. And I don't blame them. And I spent a lot of time on the show getting after Austin Matthews and certainly Willie Nylander and certain type of Elias Pettersson, not really Pettersson, but the Leafs guys for playing soft hockey. And at some point, you know, when you get to the pros, you can blame them a little bit. But these kids, I don't blame these kids. They have been so protected throughout their whole careers because development coaches and coaches on their teams and everybody in their stratosphere are afraid to poke the bear because they know that this kid, if he continues on the trajectory, he's going to make $100 million. Like, he is going to be the meal ticket. And if I piss him off, he's going to cut me off and I won't be able to ride that gravy train. So I have to just say, you're doing great. Keep it up. All the nutritional trainers, all the athletic trainers, his weight room guy, everybody. You're doing great. Keep doing what you're doing, kid. Oh, you got 55 goals this year. You got 85 assists. You're going to be a lottery pick. Fantastic. Oh, you don't know how to get the puck out on the sideboards because you don't want to take a hit. No one's ever told you how to take a hit, turn your body and chip it out and live to play another day. You don't know how to do that? That's fine. Oh, there's 2 minutes left and you have a one-on-two and you're going to try to dangle both guys because that's all you know instead of just chipping it in the corner and wasting time or ragging the puck and trying to get the win? Oh, that's fine. Oh, you don't know how to defend on a defensive zone draw in your own zone when it's tie game in the gold medal game or an elimination game? You don't know how to do that because no one's ever taught them how to do that. Coaches are more concerned with keeping these players happy, teaching them their sweet, sick little moves. Not little moves. They're great moves. I don't want to downplay how skilled they are, but we're missing a huge chunk of hockey that is just gone. And it's being exposed in international play. As light as day. Like, it's here. Canada's not the power anymore. It's Finland. It's Sweden. It's Czech Republic. And I know those three countries. It's Latvia, for Pete's sake. Latvia, who has zero effing draft picks. Zero. They take Canada to the brink, and they beat them last year. Like, this should be alarm bells. It shouldn't be alarm bells. Because I like parity. I love when a team like Latvia comes in and gives us a game. I didn't like watching the 14-2s. I think this is great. But I think Canada needs to get off their pedestal where you go into every tournament just expecting to win. Oh, we got Michael Misa and Gavin McKenna and all these first rounders. You know, we're going to dominate. That's it. Give us the medal. We can't have that mentality anymore. It's gone. We do not deserve it anymore. We haven't won anything. So that part really bothers me. And for these younger players, how do you teach that? How do you turn back the clock and teach them the fundamentals again? You know, how to sacrifice, how to block shots, how to be a good teammate, how to, you know, hold someone accountable. How do you teach those intangibles? I don't know how to turn back the clock. I really don't. If I did, I'd be a rich, rich man. I'd be a great coach. But it's just one thing that I've tried to think about how to do this. I don't know. Because talent doesn't win at the highest levels. Talent alone doesn't win. It never has. It never will. It's work ethic. It's discipline. It's structure. It's playing as a team. Those are the things that win. And that's why every Stanley Cup champion, it's not the most skilled teams that win. It's the teams that are skilled, yes, but have those traits that win Stanley Cups. The fortitude to stick with it. The sacrifice to maybe not go for that extra goal, maybe to block that shot knowing you're going to break your leg. It's those things that win championships because everybody's uber talented at this level. It's the players who know how to play in a system and can play that way shift after shift after shift after shift that win championships. Yeah, you can do it every once in a while. You can do it for a game. You can do it for a month. Can you do it for a whole season? I'm kind of drifting into the NHL sphere right here. But in a tournament like this, you have to know how to play the game. You could tell that Canada did not know how to hold a lead. They were up multiple times in that quarterfinal game, and the Czech Republic kept chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. And Canada, it made them uncomfortable. They did not know how to do it. And lo and behold, the Czech Republic wins the game. So I was going to dig into the Team USA roster as well, because they have the same issue where it's just unbelievable talent. And then you go up against a team that's just a better team. There's no I in team. And I think for Canada and USA, you need to have a long look in the mirror. So we're going to transition now from the junior ranks to the Olympics. So the rosters have broke for both of these teams. And holy hell, what a whirlwind. First, can I say this? Because I, like I said, I've been watching a lot of hockey lately. The Quinn Hughes trade to the Minnesota Wild. I was texting with my Minnesota insider the other day. And I do have an insider, everybody. So kick rocks. Like, I do have an insider. Take that, Frank Saravalli. It's actually someone in the organization who knows what he's talking about. I was just texting him. I was watching the game. I said, this Hughes-Faber duo is the best duo in the NHL. These guys are dangerous when they're on the ice. And they play 25, 30 minutes a game. And it's noticeably different when those two are on the ice, whether it's power play 5-on-5. They dominate. Like, absolutely dominate the game. And my insider said, yeah, this Minnesota Wild team will be very, very, very dangerous if they get a centerman to play with Kaprizov. That's straight from the horse's mouth. And I've been screaming it from the rooftops for years. So I don't, like, I'm telling you, they've been playing great with Quinn Hughes. If they get one more piece, and it doesn't have to be an elite first-line center, but someone who's a little bit better than Joel Eriksson-Ek. Just a slight upgrade. If they get that, Stanley Cup. Like, I'm not saying this lightly. Stanley Cup. That's the bar for them right now. The way they are playing, the way this team is shaken out the last month, they are one of, if not the best teams in the NHL, especially with that Jesper Wallstedt kid. Oh my gosh. Like, he's a hell of a goaltender. You got Jared Spurgeon as your fourth defenseman behind Jonas Brodin, Quinn Hughes, and Brock Faber. And then your hard-nosed pairing of Middleton and Bogosian. Listeners, that's a hell of a roster. All right, moving on. Speaking of Billy Guerin, swinging for the fences, we'll start with the Olympic roster. And, you know, after doing my research for the World Junior roster and, you know, thinking about what it takes to win, I was critical of Billy Guerin when he released his roster. I was like, you know, come on. What are we doing here? You know, Jason Robertson, you leave off DeBrincat, Brock Faber, the aforementioned, Lane Hudson. Like, you're leaving off great players. Sorry. It's a whiskey Monday, everybody. Give me a break. I'll go back and edit out this long sip, but I got to get my sip in here. Write down the time here so I can go and edit it out, so nobody gets upset at me for taking too long of a break. And I'm not, you know, there people were up in arms. Why is Vinny Trocheck on the team? Why is JT Miller on the team? Why is Brock Nelson on the team? Why is Jake Sanderson on the team? And I agree with you. If you are just going off pure talent, those guys aren't on the team. They're not. There's no way. You include Adam Fox. You include Jason Robertson. Cole Caulfield makes the team. Alex DeBrincat makes the team. Lane Hudson 100% makes the team. All those guys are top 10 in scoring for Americans this season. And there's defensemen in that list. Trevor Zegras makes the team. Matthew Knies, I think he makes the team. Patty Kane, friend of the show, Patty Kane makes the team. And I chewed on this a little bit. I really did, because I wanted to come out and just rip Billy Guerin a new one. I wanted to just scream from the mountaintops, what the hell are we doing? Jason Robertson, he's got the most goals from Americans and this, that, and the other thing. The more I sit on this roster and just think about how this tournament is played, I don't mind the picks. I really don't. Yes, there are a few maybe I would like to include. You know, I think Adam Fox makes the team for me, and I think Jason Robertson makes the team for me, and I think Cole Caulfield makes the team. Those are the three I put in, and I take Jake Sanderson out just because he's been having a pretty rough year. I take Brock Nelson out, and I take Vinny Trocheck out. Those are the three, but I get all of the picks that he's making. And Billy Guerin, he's very outright with his pick selections. He said, I'm not picking the most talented guys in the NHL. If that was the case, you don't need a GM. The picks are already made. You just pick the top 25 point getters, and that's the team. He's trying to put a team together that can compete and put guys in situations that they can succeed and have different roles. You know, you got your scoring line with Jack Hughes, Austin Matthews, and Jake Guentzel. That's the scoring line. That's the PowerPoint line. That's obvious. Then you have number two with the Tkachuk brothers and Eichel. That line can do a little bit of everything. They frustrate you. They're really sound defensively, and they can bang you through the walls. Then you have another scoring line with Connor and Thompson. Like, you have a little bit of everything. And then on the back end, he just went with what he went with in the Four Nations Cup. So there's nothing there. Do I love the Jake Sanderson? No. Do I love the Noah Hanifin? No. But I understand them. They're veteran guys. They know what to do. Well, Noah Hanifin and Jake Sanderson did so well at the Four Nations Cup that you almost have to include him. He's a 23-year-old kid. This will be his second Olympics, which is crazy. But, you know, I like his team. What can I say? Everybody's up in arms about it. Everybody thinks they're going to fail. They're like, oh, what are you doing? Do I think they're the favorites? I do. I really do. And I'll tell you why. You have to be strong down the middle, and you have to have solid back end. And they have the luxury of having three fantastic goaltenders to choose from. And when you have Brock Faber and Quinn Hughes and Seth Jones and Charlie McAvoy and Jacob Slavin and Zach Werenski, that's it. There's no country that can compete with that, with who they're bringing to the party. That's a tough six defensemen to beat there. It really, really is. So I really, really, really like the U.S. roster. They have a little bit of grit. They have a little bit of talent. Maybe they could have added a little more goal scoring, but I wanted to rip these guys apart. I did. But the more I digested it, the more I just sat on it, I said, you know what? I like it. I really, really like it. The one, Matt, I would have put Jason Robertson on the team. That's the one thing I would have put Jason Robertson. He's my one guy where it's like, come on. Like, he's an absolute horse. He's an absolute goal scorer. People get on about his defensive prowess, and does he try on the back end? Does he have that? The guy's an absolute stud. Does Austin Matthews have it? Maybe. Jason Robertson is an absolute horse. All right, moving on to hopefully the favorites. Team Canada. This one was iffy. There was more picks on this that I was not happy with than I was on any other roster. And I'll tell you why. Team Canada. Where do we begin? We'll start with the obvious. I get honoring, you know, what you've done in the past, which Jordan Binnington was great in the Four Nations tournament. He had the fantastic final game. He beats Team USA. Everybody's in love with him. He slays Connor Hellebuck. Listen, this guy is not even the starter on his own team. I think we have to just throw out anything that you've done when it comes to goaltenders, because you have two guys in Colorado, Blackwood and Wedgwood, who are just, and I get Colorado's got an incredible team, but they're incredible goaltenders. And either one of them would have been an upgrade over Kempfer and Binnington, in my opinion. I like Logan Thompson. I think out of these three, he should be the starter. Knowing these guys, with Armstrong as the manager, Binnington will get the start. But, like, what are we doing? Like, why are we doing that? Binnington sucks. Like, he really does stink. He's a complete snap show. He got kicked off his team this year during a game where he left the bench. Who knows what happened? But when you have two goaltenders are having this great of a season, put Blackwood on the team. Get him on the team. He will be the starter for this team. Like, he is that good. It just, it boggles my mind when something like this happens. And it just, you just, it reeks of the old boys club. And there's a lot of picks on this Canadian roster that reek of the old boys club, where you just shake your head and you go, why is that guy on the team? Like, what did he do to get on this team? It bothers me. So we'll go from the back end there. Goaltenders. I think Darcy Kuemper was another strange choice. I don't get it. Logan Thompson, he definitely should be there. He's not having the greatest season, but he's a great goaltender. We'll move to the back end. And lots of question marks on the back end. Travis Sanheim, what are you doing here? Thomas Harley, not having the greatest season. Colton Parayko, what the hell is going on? And Drew Doughty, nostalgia. I get that. But when you have a Jacob Chychrun, even an Evan Bouchard, and of course a Matthew Schaefer sitting out there, I don't know. A Noah Dobson even. I don't know what we're doing if we're the management of Team Canada. If we're going for a defense that lacks any playmakers outside of Cale Makar, I guess Josh Morrissey is a playmaker, I guess. But none of these guys outside Cale Makar scare me. You can't sit here and tell me that you would not be more afraid of a Jacob Chychrun or a Matthew Schaefer or an Evan Bouchard in this tournament on the back end. Yes, I know each one of those guys has their issues, but so do these guys who they picked. And if it's the best on best, and you need a defenseman to make that first outlet pass, do you want it to be Colton Parayko? Do you want it to be Thomas Harley or Shea Theodore? Or would you rather it to be Matthew Schaefer or Evan Bouchard? Or Jacob Chychrun, who's having just a great season. I don't understand. And I know it's the defense from the Four Nations Cup. I get that. Oh, we were fantastic in the Four Nations Cup. These guys were great. Move on. This is an epic fail from Team Canada management. This is a horrendous defense. It's not even the top two in the whole tournament right now. I like Sweden's defense better than these guys. They got Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Forsling, Dahlin, Victor Hedman. They got Erik Karlsson, Jonas Brodin. Like, I like Sweden's defense over Canada's at this point. Yes, they have the high-end talent in Cale Makar, but that's it. That is really it. It bothers me to see this list when there's other defensemen out there who merit being on this team more. And Drew Doughty in 2010, everybody was up in arms with him going, oh, what are you taking this kid for? He was one of the best defensemen for the tournament. He went into that tournament not thinking he was going to play a lick. I talked to players on that team. Drew was going out having fun drinking. Then all of a sudden they go, you got to play and we need you to play big minutes. And he had to curb his partying to start playing Olympic hockey. And then he became their best defender almost on that team. And you have a player who's better than he was right now, Matthew Schaefer for the New York Islanders, playing unbelievably confident hockey. And you leave him off this roster. It's criminal. It should not happen. Someone should be fired. Head should be spinning right now on the back. It just boggles my mind. I get Evan Bouchard because he has brain farts all the time. Jacob Chychrun, the guy's a moose. And he can move the puck. I don't get it. All right, moving up front to the forward train, to the forward ranks. Obviously, Connor Bedard is the one who stands out. Why is he not invited? I know the shoulder issue. I think, again, going back to the old boys club, going back to Canada hockey, he ticked off a lot of people in Canada hockey by not going to the World Championships last year. They really wanted him to go. Macklin Celebrini went. A lot of other players went. Connor Bedard decided not to go. And I know a lot of people in Hockey Canada took that personal, and they just kind of filed it in the back of their head, and they were just waiting for a reason to not include him in, on this roster. He's having a fantastic season. He is an incredible hockey player. And you can't sit here and tell me that he won't be 100% come Olympics in a month and a half. The guy's going to be firing on all cylinders. He will be back. He will be healthy. He will be able to be on this team. And you're going to put Anthony Cirelli and Brandon Hagel and Mark Stone and Bo Horvat over Connor Bedard? That to me is crazy. But the most craziest one, and I know people want Sam Bennett on the team. I get that. You know, Conn Smythe winner. He was a stud in the Four Nations, arguably one of Canada's best player, if not the best player on Team Canada. The guy rises to the occasion on any big moment. It's Mark Scheifele. And I don't know what Mark Scheifele has to do to make this Olympic team, aside from what he's already been doing. The guy is an absolute stud. And he's been a stud for years and years and years and years. I know Winnipeg's not doing that great this year, but what the hell are we doing? Like, Mark Scheifele does everything you want as a player and more. I think he's 6'3", 6'2". He is top 10 in scoring in the NHL right now, I think. He has an above-average face-off winning percentage. He kills penalties. He's good on the power play. He's responsible defensively. He doesn't take shifts off. Like, what more would you want if you're Team Canada? I don't understand the reasoning by why he's not on this team. He's healthy as a horse. Put him on the team. Oh, we can't. Why can't we? Oh, because John Cooper wants his PK duo. Brendan Hagel and Anthony Cirelli. That's why. Really? That's why Mark Scheifele isn't on Team Canada right now? Because Anthony effing Cirelli is good at killing penalties? And I get it. I know I had the big spiel about the World Junior Championships. You got to have guys who know their roles and can do things. Mark Scheifele kills penalties. He's very effective at killing penalties. He's great in the faceoff dot. He's got one of the highest faceoff winning percentages in the league. That's like, he has those boxes checked. But just because John Cooper is the coach, and I get coaches like to have familiar players and guys they can trust in this situation, you have to put your ego aside and your familiarity aside and all of these things aside. You need to win gold. And leaving Mark Scheifele off this team is criminal. It's absolutely criminal. Not just because he's a good player, but reward the guy for Pete's sake. He's an incredible, incredible hockey player. Put him on the damn team. Like, he needs a win. Go from the President's Trophy last year, doing everything he did, going into this season, he's having a fantastic season, and he doesn't even get on the team. You have to feel bad for Mark Scheifele at some point. Like, the team's just floundering. He wants this team badly. He really, really does. And they leave him off the roster. It's just the old boys club. I think that's what it boils down to for Team Canada. It's who you know, who do you trust will get you on this team. Jacob Chychrun doesn't know anybody. Mark Scheifele doesn't know anybody. Connor Bedard pissed in somebody's cornflakes. But Hagel and Cirelli and Colton Parayko and Jordan Binnington and all these guys, they know the right guys. That's why they're on this team. They're not on it because of their merit. Yeah, they're great hockey players. There's better players who could be on this team. Hands down, Sam Bennett should be on this team. Mark Scheifele should be on this team. Connor Bedard, definitely. Jacob Chychrun, definitely should be on this team. I think a Zach Hyman would do really great on this team. When you look at Canada's B squad, you start to think, I think this B squad could beat the A squad. The goaltenders are better on the B squad. You got Mackenzie Blackwood, Scott Wedgwood. You got that Greaves kid from Columbus. Those three goalies are better than the Canada's three goalies. I think the defensemen they left out are just as good. You got Mackenzie Weegar, who's got Shabbat Shalom, Aaron Ekblad, for Pete's sake, Brandon Montour, to go along with Chychrun and Schaefer and Dobson and Bouchard. Like, that's a hell of a roster. Like, then you got Matthew Barzal and John. Like, there is so many players, and I know this is the struggle with Canadian management and what it goes into making this team, but I feel like if you have a dog in the fight and you're a manager for this team, meaning you're employed by an NHL team, you have to make players happy. You have to feed the hand that feeds you. I don't know what that saying is, but you have to make people happy. So if I'm Armstrong or John Cooper or all these other managers on this Canadian team, you go, gosh, like I'm going to have to run into Colton Parenko when I get home and Jordan Binnington. I'm going to be in the same hall with Sorelli and Hagel. I'm trying to win a Stanley Cup. I don't want those guys pissed off at me. Let's put them on the team. It's 50-50. It's my choice. Oh, it's either Sam Bennett, who I absolutely despise and loathe because I've been playing him in the playoffs for the last 5 years. It's him or Sorelli. Man, let's take Sorelli. Oh, it's Colton Parenko or Matthew Schaefer. Who's it going to be, Doug Armstrong? Let's take Parenko. I got to deal with him for the next 3, 4, 5 years. Let's take him. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it works. It's who you know in certain points, not what you do on the ice. So going into the Olympics, I don't know who the favorites are. Based on what's happened for the World Juniors, based on how this roster selection goes, based on how for the Four Nation goes, I'm never going to bet against Connor McDavid. I know that. I've made that mistake once. I'm not going to bet against Nathan MacKinnon. But just based on how the teams are laid out and how you win championships, strong through the middle and the back end, I like Team USA. I really, really do. I like Team Sweden. I think those two teams are incredible teams, and they'll give Canada a run for their money. If I'm going to go gold medal team right now, you know, things change very quickly. How does Matthew Tkachuk look when he comes back? You know, how do guys stay healthy throughout the next month? And we've already seen guys go down. So these rosters will change. Things are fluid. But I'll say it here first. I think the USA will win gold. I think Canada will win silver or maybe bronze, and Sweden will be in the mix too. Those three teams will come out with medals. And I'll leave it with this. Maybe not with this, because this is a little controversial. It's a shame that Russia is not in this tournament. It really is, because looking at the amount of skill that is being left out of this tournament because they're still banned because of the Putin and Ukraine crap, it's a shame because it's the best of the best. Everybody wants to see Kucherov. Everybody wants to see Ovechkin. Everybody wants to see these dynamic Russian players, and we can't. And it's a shame for hockey fans because it would be just awesome to see those guys ripping around the ice. But we won't until they get their act figured out. But I'll leave it on this. Team Canada, Team USA, you are at a crossroads here. And I don't know if you will be able to course correct, because the way things are going in international tournaments, gone are the days of you coming in and just dominating based on reputation, dominating based on pure talent. Other countries have caught up, and other countries have paired that talent with how to play the game. And until we as Canadians humble ourselves and realize that we aren't the cat's meow, we have to put in the work, we have to play as a team, we will continue to get beat by Czech Republic and Latvia and struggle to get by Finland and Sweden until we could just come to a reckoning and look in the mirror and go, we have to change. But until that time comes, and I don't see it coming anytime soon, get used to clawing for a bronze, which we won today over Finland. It was a great win, but you could tell both teams were just completely checked out. So thank you, everybody, for listening. A little update here. Sweden is about to win gold in the World Junior Championships. Good for them. Congratulations to Sweden. Friend of the show's brother, William Eklund. Looks like he's going to take home a gold. Victor Eklund's got a couple goals tonight for Team Sweden, so good for them. Anyways, thank you all for joining me. I will talk to you guys later. I appreciate all the support. I hope everybody had a good New Year's, and I'll talk to you soon. Cheers.